From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id. Hello listener, how are you? I'm Stefanus, will be in here with you for the next 60 minutes. We will present various programs for you, like the news, commentary, light info, and also pop songs from Indonesia. And listener, we will have first the news, so stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on the frequencies of 3325 kilohertz and voanews.id.
Listener, here's the news. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo affirms local traditions as a nation's strength. Minister Sri Mulyani expects Indonesia to become full FATF member by 2023. And here is the news in detail. Local customs, traditions, and wisdom are Indonesian's strengths, and they must be maintained and preserved. This was pointed out by President Joko Widodo after being conferred a customary title from the Sultanate of Ternate on Wednesday, as quoted by Antara. He also said at the palace of the Ternate Sultanate in Ternate City, North Maluku Province, on Wednesday, that he received the title called Dada Madopo Malomo from the Sultanate of Ternate from the 49th Sultan of Ternate, Hidayatullah Shah. He lauded the Sultanate for its efforts to maintain and preserve the local customs, traditions, and wisdom in the region. The president further stated that maintaining customs and traditions is important since Indonesia is a large country. In fact, Indonesia's cultural diversity is its strength. The Minister of Finance, Sri Mulyani Indrawati, has said that she expects Indonesia to become a full member of the Financial Action Task Force, or FATF, by 2023. Indonesia has entered the stage of Mutual Evaluation Review, or MER, from July the 18th until August the 4th, 2022, as a requirement for full FATF membership. The results of the assessment will be announced in February 2023. As quoted by Antara, Minister Indrawati remarked at the B20 Integrity and Compliance Task Force conference, followed online on Wednesday, that by becoming a full member, Indonesia can make a greater contribution to the FATF and the world. She also pointed out that in a MER conducted by the Asia-Pacific Group, or APG, in 2018, Indonesia was considered to have adequately met the international standards regarding anti-money laundering and counter-terrorism financing. First Lady Iriana Joko Widodo is scheduled to attend a kebaya parade in Solo or Surakarta, Central Java, next Sunday, which will coincide with the National Batik Day. The activity is the First Lady's initiative. Danarsi Santosa Dula, chairperson of Ratna Busana, a traditional clothing admirers women's association in Surakarta, informed on Wednesday, as quoted by Antara. Mrs. Iriana reminded that kebaya originated from Solo, and the parade is also in line with the Kebaya Goes to UNESCO movement. She also explained that the First Lady has promised not to come alone, but bring the wives of all governors in Indonesia and the spouses of the cabinet ministers in the onward Indonesia Cabinet Era Solidarity Action Organization. The Ministry of Religious Affairs will seek clarity on the meningitis vaccination policy for Umrah pilgrims from Saudi Arabian authorities following information that the vaccine is no longer mandatory, is only being recommended for pilgrims. The ministry, through representatives of Indonesian government in Saudi Arabia, will immediately coordinate with the competent authorities in Saudi Arabia to obtain clarity on meningitis vaccine policy. As reported by Antara, the information was expressed during a meeting among the Ministry of Religious Affairs, the Director General of Disease Prevention and Control, or P2P, of the Ministry of Health, and Umrah Travel Organizer, regarding the meningitis vaccine scarcity. The Ministry of Religious Affairs reported that the number of Umrah pilgrims from Indonesia has continued to increase in the past 2 months to reach 200,000. The Vice President of the United States, Kamala Harris, arrived in South Korea a day after the North fired two short-range ballistic missiles off its east coast. The launch, which breaches UN sanctions, comes as the US and South Korea hold joint naval drills in the waters around the Korean Peninsula. As quoted by BBC.com, South Korea and Japan officials have condemned the provocations. It's the second launch this week and part of a record year of tests by Pyongyang. And the timing is crucial. During her visit to South Korea, Ms. Harris will travel to the border and the heavily fortified Demilitarized Zone, or DMZ, which separates the north and the south. On Wednesday, she addressed US troops at the military base in Japan, where she condemned Pyongyang's recent launches and its illicit weapon program, which threatens regional stability. European countries say they will ramp up security around oil and gas installations after the suspected sabotage of two major pipelines. As reported by BBC.com, the EU, US and NATO have suggested damage to the pipelines between Russia and Germany was deliberate, but have not blamed Russia direct. Russia said it was not involved and asked if the US was instead. Russia has previously been accused of using gas supplies as a weapon against the West over its support for Ukraine. The leaks on the Nord Stream 1 and Nord Stream 2 pipelines were discovered on Monday and Tuesday. Neither pipeline was operating at the time, as the Nord Stream 2 project was abandoned when Russia invaded Ukraine, and Russia shut down Nord Stream in September, citing a need for maintenance. Taiwan will end its mandatory COVID-19 quarantine for arrivals from October 13th and welcome tourists back, the government said on Thursday, completing a major step on its plan to reopen to the outside world. As reported by ChannelNewsAsia.com, Taiwan had kept some of its entry and quarantine rules in place as large parts of the rest of Asia relaxed or lifted them completely, although in June it cut the number of days required in isolation for arrivals to 3 from 7 previously. Taiwan has reported 6.3 million domestic cases since the beginning of the year, driven by the more infectious Omicron variant. With more than 99% of those showing no or only mild symptoms, the government has relaxed restrictions in its new Taiwan model. Listener, that was the news from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Engkau sawan dan Today's Diplomatic Corner highlights: Ministry of Home Affairs, Indonesian Embassy in Tokyo opens population services for Indonesian citizens in Japan. Listeners, the Ministry of Home Affairs, in collaboration with the Embassy of the Republic of Indonesia in Tokyo, opened a population administration service for Indonesian citizens in Japan on September 26, 2022. Minister of Home Affairs Tito Karnavian, in his review at the School of the Republic of Indonesia, Tokyo, on Monday, said the service was to make it easier for Indonesian citizens to register their residence, which is currently not registered. He also said that of the approximately 128 Indonesian embassies abroad, 38 embassies are already connected to the Population and Civil Registry, or Dukcapil, in Indonesia. Thus, the administration of Dukcapil board, including for electronic ID cards, birth certificates, and family cards, does not need to return to Indonesia. On the same occasion, the Indonesian ambassador to Japan and the Federated States of Micronesia, Harry Ahmadi, said that there are still many Indonesian citizens in Japan who have not yet registered. He said as many as 30,000 Indonesian citizens have settled and obtained permanent resident identities in Japan. However, they still have to have an Indonesian identity, wholly for future protection and service programs, or coaching to keep their Indonesian identity. Population administration services for Indonesian citizens in Japan are carried out at the School of the Republic of Indonesia, Tokyo, Meguro City, Tokyo. A number of Indonesian citizens arrived from morning until noon to take care of various population and civil registration matters, ranging from EID cards, birth certificates, and family cards. That's Diplomatic Corner.
VOI International Quiz 2022 is back! 8 winners will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. Get ready! Who knows, you may be one of the winners of VOI International Quiz 2022.
Listener, we begin today in history with the event on September 29, 1955, when Indonesia's first legislative election was held. The 1955 Indonesian general election was the first general election held in Indonesia in 1955. This 1955 election was held when state security was still not conducive. Under these circumstances, members of the armed forces and police also elected. Those who serve in vulnerable areas took turns to come to the voting places. The election was held safely. This election was aimed at selecting members of the House of Representatives and the Constituent Assembly. The number of seats in the House being contested was 260, while the constituent seats amounted to 520 plus 14 representatives of minority groups who were appointed by the government. move to the event on September 29, 1911, about the Italo-Turkish War. Italy declared war on the Ottoman Empire in order to seize the territory of Tripolitania, Cyrenaica, Fezzan, and the Dodecanese Islands. The declaration then triggered the Italo-Turkish War, which lasted for more than a year. Italy won the battle and succeeded in taking control of the Tripolitania region, Cyrenaica, Fezzan, and the Dodecanese Islands. We end today in history with the event on September 29th about Indonesian Bachelor's Day. National Bachelor Day is commemorated every September 29th. The commemoration of Indonesian Bachelor's Day is an award for scholars who have graduated and become the generation of Indonesian nation builders. Scholars are considered to be one of the determinants of the nation's progress because they are the nation's assets that are expected to provide contribution to development. Sosro Kartono, a man from Jepara, is known to be the first scholar from Indonesia. The commemoration of National Bachelor's Day is a momentum for scholars to evaluate. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Cegah penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo chakuyou shite COVID-19 no kansen kakudai wo防ぎましょう. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Wa qaw intiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bi shaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmini.
Rang zheng que pei tai kou zhao, yi fang chi xin xin guang zhuang bing du fei yan de chuan bo. Wo de kou zhao bao hu ni. 你的口罩, 保护我。
Evite la difusión del coronavirus. Cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
For COVID, the getting over dragging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19. En portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Maske. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
Kakiku tak berharap temukan cintamu, kamu, kamu, ya kamu.
Semuanya berbeda waktu pertama ku melihatmu, kamu, kamu, ya kamu.
Aku tiba-tiba sayang, aku tiba-tiba cinta. Waktu pertama melihat, melihat senyum manismu.
Menggoda di angkaku, aku kehadiran cinta. Ini kan namanya cinta pada pandangan pertamaku. Oh, yeah.
Kakiku ini berhenti tepat di hadapanmu. Kamu, kamu, ya kamu. Ku tak ragu, ku tak bimbang.
Untuk menjadikan kamu ratu, ratu di hatiku.
Aku tiba-tiba sayang, aku tiba-tiba cinta. Waktu pertama melihat, melihat senyum manis.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Next, we are going to present to you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
The Indonesian government has issued a study of the forest law enforcement, governance and trade or FLACT implementation in a bid to support illegal logging eradication and to increase illegal timber trade. Director General of Sustainable Forest Management at the Environment and Forestry Ministry, Agus Justianto, in a written statement received in Jakarta Saturday, said the study is expected to get an illustration on the market acceptance, recognition, perception and incentive, especially in the European market, for FLACT licensed timbers. He also said Indonesia has signed the FLACT Voluntary Partnership Agreement, or VPA, with the European Union since September 2013 and became the first country to fully implement the FLACT VPA by issuing the first FLACT license in the world in November 2016. According to Agus, Indonesia and related parties have developed national scheme for timber legality guarantee since 2003 with the wood legality verification system to answer the global market demands. In this context, the Indonesian government initiated a study on FLACT implementation and policy shift in the global market in line with forestry and other agricultural commodities trade that are related with deforestation. He also explained the FLACT implementation study is an important milestone in understanding global policies on product legality and forest sustainability in the forest produced trade. According to Agus Justianto, the study describes the development in producer countries besides Indonesia in developing, negotiating, and implementing the FLACT VPA, especially in the market countries policy. Agus added the study is a follow-up of high-level discussion between the Environment and Forestry Minister and the Indonesian ambassadors to Europe.
The study was carried out by the team from Freiburg University, Germany, and Gajah Mada University's Sepijak Institute, sponsored by the Indonesian government or the Indonesian Embassy for the Federal Republic of Germany and the British government. Agus hoped that the flag VBA can be implemented consistently, both by producer and consumer countries.
You are still with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Listener, next we are going to invite you to visit various places of Indonesia to know about its tourism objects or some local wisdom that we have only on Indonesian Wonder.
The Maros Pangkep Geopark area in South Sulawesi is officially included in the UNESCO Global Geopark list. This determination increases the number of geoparks in Indonesia that are recognized worldwide after the Batur, Rinjani, Sewu, Ciletuh, Tobal Caldera, and Belitung geoparks. The determination was based on the results of the UNESCO Global Geopark Council meeting in Thailand. General Manager of the management agency Maros Pangkep Geopark, Dedi Irfan, said that with the status of being included in the UNESCO Global Park, the attention to the Geopark Maros Pangkep is believed to increase and make this area a world tourism destination. The Maros Pangkep Geopark is located in two regencies, namely Maros Regency and Pangkajene Island Regency. This Earth Park was officially established in 2015 and has been a National Earth Park since 2017. This Earth Park is one of 15 National Earth Parks owned by Indonesia and the only geopark with the status of a National Earth Park on the island of Sulawesi. One of the attractions is the karst area. The Maros Pangkep karst is one of the world-class karst with no doubt about its beauty, uniqueness, flora and fauna, as well as high scientific and socio-cultural values. This karst is the second largest karst area in the world after South China. The karst in the Maros Pangkep Geopark has hundreds of caves that were once inhabited by ancient or prehistoric humans. On the walls of this cave, there are relics of 40,000 years old prehistoric paintings. Besides having a high historical value, this karst is also an interesting tourism spot. In addition to the karst area in this geopark, there is the Butterfly Kingdom. The Kingdom of Butterflies is located in the Banting Murung Bulu Saraung National Park Conservation Area. This area has endemic flora and fauna, including 240 species of butterflies. As a geopark, there are various sustainable nature-based tourism destinations in Maros Pangkep, ranging from geosites, biological sites, to cultural sites.
VOI International Quiz 2022 is back! 8 winners will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. Get ready! Who knows, you may be one of the winners of VOI International Quiz 2022.
listener, thank you. You're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id.
Miscellany for today highlights the 266th anniversary of Yogyakarta City. Listeners, Yogyakarta City will celebrate its 266th anniversary on October 7th, 2022, for 9 days from October 1st to October 9th. 14 events will be held to celebrate the anniversary of Jogja City. The big event will be held on October 7th with the Wayang Jogja Night Carnival. The 266th anniversary of the city raises the theme Sulih, Pulih, and Luih. In general, this theme means the situation to adapt from the old condition during COVID-19 to the new normal to develop faster. This transition period is considered the right moment to rise. On October 1st, the activity will begin with the launch of the logo for the 266th anniversary of Jogja City in the Kleringan area or east of Malioboro, Yogyakarta. This will be an event by various artistic acts. On October 2nd, there will be a joint cycling event entitled Yogoes for residents who are interested in the historic and iconic routes in Yogyakarta City. Meanwhile, on October 3rd until 6th, a lively carnival of students will decorate the streets of Jogja City. The cultural event will theatrical nuance of fashion entitled Malioboro Seribu Kelir is predicted to be an interesting spectacle for tourists on October 4th. In addition, the exhibition of various superior products entitled MSME Sekati Ing Mall on October 5th to 10th will enliven a number of malls in Yogyakarta. Another activity on October 5th is to feature performers of art and culture at the Malioboro Music Show. On October 6th, there will be the launch of the public service mall at Yogyakarta City Hall and a photo and crease exhibition at XT Square from 6th to 9th of October 2022. The highlight of 266th anniversary commemoration of the iconic city of Yogyakarta is an overnight carnival event entitled Wayang Jogja Night Carnival at the Yogyakarta Monument area on October 7th. The commemoration of the 266th anniversary of Yogyakarta will also be an event with Mandiri Fashion Day activities at Bringharjo Market on October 8th and Malioboro Night Coffee on Jalan Jenderal Sudirman from 8th to 9th of October. That's Miss Eleni.
menjalin asmara yang ada antara diriku dengan cinta. Menjadi teman baikku memudikan bahagia. Apapun tempat terlindung bersama air mata.
Penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo chaku yo shite COVID-19 no kansan kakudai wo fusegimashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Waqaw intiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bi shaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmini.
让整确佩戴口罩，以防止新型冠状病毒肺炎的传播。我的口罩保护你，你的口罩保护我。
Evite la difusión del coronavirus. Cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Voorkom de ketting overdragging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19-Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Maske. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world. Next, we are going to present to you the music corner, so stay tuned.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of Voice of Indonesia. Welcome back to Music Corner. We'll play you a song by Grace Simon this time. Grace Simon, it was a popular singer in the 1970s. She often appeared on TV and joined Asian pop song contest. Her greatest hits was Bing, which was composed by another Indonesian legend, Titiek Puspa. The song Bing was dedicated to Bing Slamet, an artist that Titiek admired so much. The passing of Bing left a deep impression on his fans, including Titiek Puspa. So listener, here is Bing by Grace Simon.
Sinarnya tiba-tiba redup, langit gelap, hati yang bahagia terhentak seketika, malapetaka seakan menyelinap. Aku terima kekasih berpulang untuk selamanya. Hancur luluh rasa jiwa dan raga. Tak percaya tapi nyata. Ku bersimpuh di sisi jasad membeku, doa tulus dan air mata. Segala dosaku pohonkan ampunannya, seakan terjawab dan kau terima. Aku terima
Voice of Indonesia.
Thank you very much for you who have been joining us in the English service from Voice of Indonesia. We are expecting any opinion from you, so feel free to send it to our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia. The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram voice.of.indonesia, Twitter @voiindonesia, and also you can send it to our email voi@voinews.id. We hope that your opinion will help us to bring you better information about Indonesia. Well, the listener, make sure that you will stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Thank you.